We will read Ephesians this morning, chapter 4. We're in the middle of verse 11 here, so we'll look at verse 11. But let's read 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. We've been talking about the gifts that Jesus Christ gives to the church. As human beings, we all like to receive gifts. It's something that's not deserved. It's something that comes unexpectedly. And it depends on what the person giving you the gift wants to give you. Jesus Christ wants to give to his church the absolute best that there is. Jesus Christ wants his church to be a united church, which is the theme we've spent many weeks looking at in chapter 4. Jesus Christ wants his church to walk worthy. In other words, to walk so that when people look at us, whether as a church as a whole in Hollywood, whether the church looks at us as individuals, that they would see in our lifestyle, in the way we walk, in the way we talk, in everything we do, that they would see that our life is equivalent or equal to the unity that's described in the Word of God, and that our life would correspond to the teaching of the Bible. And for this reason, and to accomplish this, Jesus Christ, after he died and after he rose and after he ascended up into heaven again and now sits at his Father's right hand, Jesus Christ sent or gave to the church as a whole leaders, so that these leaders, they would teach and preach and bring the church of God into a full understanding of what it means to be a child of God. And by doing so, would be able to accomplish our goal of living on earth, and that is the chief reason why we are born to live on earth, and that is to glorify and to know God. And these leaders that God gave, we find that in the first church, in the New Testament church, there were four categories of leaders. These are actual spiritual gifts that God gives to the church, and these gifts, they operate in the church. And we've already looked at the fact that the first leaders in the church were the apostles and then the prophets. The apostles were actually the first 12 disciples that Jesus chose. And then later, when Judas, he committed suicide, the church chose Matthias to be, it wasn't actually the church yet, it was the believers. They gathered in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and they chose Matthias to replace Judas. And then God himself chose the apostle Paul, who's the writer of this epistle. Paul tells us many times that he's been chosen as an apostle. These were they that laid the foundational teaching of the church. These were the apostles that received from God, through the Holy Spirit, what we have in our hand today that we call Scripture. We call it Holy Scripture because it is words that came from the sinless, pure, holy lips of God. That's why it is the holy words of God, the sinless words of God that can transform our life and make us, as Paul says here, in verse 13, come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be a perfect man in the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that our life would look like the life of Jesus Christ. And after the apostles, and at the same time that the apostles ministered in the church, God gave and God sent prophets to the church, very similarly as happened in the Old Testament. And the role of the prophet and the job of the prophet was to proclaim the word of God. Secondly, they also, some of them would receive the word of God and translate it to the church or give it or transmit it to the church. Now, we believe that both the apostles and the prophets, these jobs or these ministries in the church, they have long since ceased to exist. We no longer have apostles or prophets in the church, but we have this other category of leaders that also existed in the First Testament, New Testament church, and exist until tonight or today. And that is evangelists and pastors. Pastor teachers specifically is the way the Greek uses that expression. What are evangelists, or who are evangelists? Sometimes we misunderstand this word. partly because of our culture, partly because of our language, because in the Russian language, evangelist and the gospel is a very similar word, Evangelia и evangelist. So we sometimes confuse the two. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The evangelist is the person that takes the good news of Jesus Christ, and he takes it and he proclaims it to people who do not know Jesus Christ. In other words, people that are outside the church. In the New Testament church, we find one example of a person that was an evangelist, and that is Philip. We read about him extensively in the 8th chapter of Acts. And what is amazing, when you read Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 5, we read in verse 12, we read in verse 35, and we read in verse 40. And each of those verses describes Philip and his ministry as an evangelist in the same language. It says that he went and he preached Jesus Christ, or he preached the things of God. The result is, through evangelism and the work that the evangelist does among people outside the church, those people come to know the Lord and they come into the church. And once they are in the church and under the authority of the church, whose head is Jesus Christ, whose words are our foundational teaching, then in the church, God established pastor teachers who continue the job, but not only take the job of the evangelist, which was to proclaim the good news that Jesus came to save, but we now in detail teach you and proclaim to you not only how to come to know the Lord, but also the details of how we are to live our lives so that it would bring glory to Jesus Christ. So the function of the pastor teacher is similar to the function of the evangelist, but there are some distinctions between the two. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, do not forsake or do not neglect or do not forget to do the work of an evangelist. And so evangelists in the Greek are literally those who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it says how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. Sometimes in our 21st century, we think that the mailman is the one that brings us good news. When we get a card or a letter from somebody that we want to hear from, or if we get that check in the mail, okay? But spiritually speaking, we can see the same context. Somebody would come to where you live and would proclaim to you the words of Jesus Christ. The words of the good news. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the time of Rome, they really didn't have post offices like we do, and they didn't have news and newspapers and radio and TV like we do. And so if the governor or if the Caesar, for example, would want to make a proclamation, he would send a herald or he would send a person that would go from city to city. And when he came to the city, he would gather the whole city together. Most of the cities, most of the towns were small enough to where he could stand on a stump or on a raised platform, and he would speak loudly and proclaim whatever the news was. And in the very same way, the evangelist would come to a town and would stand, spiritually speaking, on a raised platform to proclaim what God wanted the people to hear. And Paul did this very often in his travels. And the best description we have of Paul doing this job is the fact that Paul was a missionary. And in today's language, that is the best way to describe the evangelist. He is indeed a preacher who can proclaim the gospel, but he differs in his function from a pastor teacher in that he primarily works with unbelievers. Now, he can work in a church and needs to work in a church. Unfortunately, in our Russian culture, in our English culture, in our Western culture, we often think of the evangelist as a guy that drives around and he goes from church to church and he has several sermons that he's learned and he does an altar call and hopefully some people respond to the altar call and then he goes on to the next city. But that is not necessarily the biblical example that we find. The biblical example of the New Testament in the book of Acts is when Paul or Philip or the other apostles would come to a city, and when they would preach, they would establish a church. Paul spent 3.5 years in Ephesus establishing the church. Those new converts that came to know the Lord through his evangelism, he then taught them for 3.5 years and grounded them. He made their faith have roots, as the man in Psalm 1, who was his roots were in the Word of God, and he meditated in the Word of God day and night. And so he would establish the church in teaching, and then he would choose from among the church that was established leaders, pastors, teachers, deacons, and leave them in charge, and then go on to the next town. But this evangelist was also always responsible and always sent his reports and always came back to his home church. In this case, it was Jerusalem, and give a report to there. And all of the finances that were contributed to his ministry and all the gifts and all the tithes, we've been hearing about how we are to tithe from Malachi's or pastors doing a series in Malachi, the tithes and offerings and sacrifices always came back to the home church in Jerusalem, and the evangelist, just like in our day, the missionary that we can send out to proclaim the gospel on our behalf, he always comes back to us and is accountable to us and is, in our context, our employee, if we could use that word. Now, I believe in Hollywood Church, we need to consider this as a separate ministry and maybe look for somebody that we could support that would go out into our community, since most of us are either busy with work or school or are retired. But maybe we need to pray that God would raise up among us somebody, or maybe we could find somebody to pay him a salary and to support him financially in a place where he could live, where he could represent our church in the community, proclaiming the Word of God, bringing them into our fold. Now, every single one of us has the gift of evangelism, and we should not think that we could hire somebody that will do our job for us. But every church throughout history, including the first New Testament church, had these special God-given evangelists that the church would recognize, would lay their hands on them, bless them, and financially support them to go out for this specific ministry. And that is a missionary service that we need to consider over and beyond the missionaries that we already support in Argentina and Ukraine. And maybe God is calling one of you to be this kind of person. God will make it known to you through his calling, if that is what is calling, God is calling you to. And so, not all evangelists can be pastor teachers. But all pastor teachers have to be evangelists. Paul writes the qualifications of a pastor teacher to Timothy. Let's read Timothy First Timothy 3:7, beginning with begins in verse 1, so let's read chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. These are the qualifications for the man of God that is a gift to the church, that is the pastor teacher, and we'll see the qualifications that they differ slightly from the evangelist. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, and we'll see that this is just another word or another function of what the pastor does, he desires a good work. And so this man must be blameless. He is to be the husband of one wife. He is to be temperate. He is to be sober. He is to be of good behavior. He is to be hospitable. He is supposed to be able to teach, not addicted to wine. He's not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Paul repeats these same qualifications in chapter 1 of Titus, verse 5 through 7. Peter uses these same expressions in 1 Peter chapter 5, but there he uses another word. And when we look at the Greek language, in all of the New Testament, we find three words that describe the church leadership. The first one is this term that Paul uses in Ephesians, the pastor and the teacher that teaches the truths of God, the detail of the Word of God to the church so that the church would grow. Secondly, there is the word that we meet in Psalm 23, in English 22 in Russian, where David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Russian, we use the word apostat, and that is translated as, in English, from the Greek, that means he who leads the flock. Okay, and then we encounter this word here in Timothy, this word bishop, which means he who is responsible for the church or oversees the church. Okay, and then there's one more word, and that is the word didaskaloi, which means pastor teacher, who combines all these functions in one job. And so Paul uses these terms interchangeably to show that the pastor as a shepherd leads the flock, as a teacher he teaches the flock, and as an overseer he is responsible to God for the condition and the welfare of the sheep in the church, which is you, and the shepherd would always also feed his flock. And that is the job of the pastors. In contrast to the pastor teachers, the evangelist, his primary responsibility was simply to work with the unsaved people in an effort to proclaim the gospel to them. So some evangelists can be pastors, but not necessarily have to have that role, but all pastors have to have the gift of being able to proclaim the gospel to the people that come. And so we see that these are the gifts that God has given to his church. Now the goal why God has given the church and God picks these leaders to the church, when we come back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, we'll pick this up next time. It says to equip the saints to work. When you go into the army gives you a uniform, it gives you weapons, and it teaches you how to use them so that you can go to a country somewhere far away and represent your country as part of the army. We are the army of God. God has called us to be his foot soldiers. God has given the church sergeants or leaders or pastor teachers, officers who are here to teach you how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, so that you would know how to live your life to the glory of God and also be effective in the kingdom of God. And we'll take a look at that next time when we meet. But for today, may God bless his word. Amen.